I think the chief had a very long life. He died at 95. Not many South African people live up to 95, so he has had very good innings. And his passing brings to an end an era, and he's the last of the so-called Bantustan leaders. And he was mired in controversy, especially early on in his life. This is a man who used to be a member of the African National Congress, who used to consult with the likes of, say, Albert Luthuli, Nelson Mandela, Oliver Tambo, etc. But he was obsessed with having a place in history. So when the ANC was banned, he saw an opportunity. And unfortunately, he began to dictate the direction that the ANC had not anticipated. Early on, the ANC had no problem with his formation in Qatar. But later, he came out to be seen as a puppet of the apartheid regime. And during that time, when the struggle was intensifying and when the repression was intensifying, he was a person who was feted and received by world leaders that were sympathetic to apartheid. In that sense, the ANC and the other liberation movement and also people in the township began to see him as simply a sellout, the one who sells his own people. But it was Mandela's commitment to reconciliation among African people that when he came out of prison, he sort of reached out to people like Buthelezi and many others in a way that they began to sanitize the role that he had played, where he was seen to be the chief sponsor of the level of violence, black-on-black violence that ensued in the late 80s and the early 90s. So he was seen negatively until Mandela came. So when Mandela sought his audience and preached the idea of reconciliation, he was willing to forgive or to say, let the bygones be bygones, and let's find and work together towards building a new country, a new nation.
Professor, in the official circles of South Africa, how is the late Buthelezi being remembered?
In the official circle, they remember him as the man of reason and a wise one. He was almost like the last voice of reason, even within parliament. And when the many other people will be taking positions, he'll always choose a path of moderation. This is why the president of this country was among the first to talk about him as a statesman. And also one must also remember that it was also Mandela who appointed him to become the first Minister of Home Affairs in South Africa post-1994. And it was also Buthelezi who was also asked to serve as an acting president belonging to another party. So effectively, his role had been sanitized. And at the moment, when you look at the media's responses and parties, they have actually chosen to ignore the past. And they're saying this is the time to give him the due respect that he sought, but also to acknowledge that he may have turned the corner, that he had started playing a positive role in the affairs of South Africa.
Professor, the other development over the weekend is the admission of the African Union as a permanent member of the G20. Your comment?
What you have is, this is more of a reaction to the BRICS expansion. There is a sense in the West that there's a need for the West to pay attention to the fact that there is something called the Global South, and that the Global South is raising the issue of being taken seriously, an issue of representativity. So the best way in which you try to weaken that formation is to make sure that you accommodate them within the existing structures, the structures that had historically excluded them. But like I've always said, that the problem with African Union and its leaders is that they are so desperate for being given attention, they are so desperate for being accommodated, that they are not able to start something on their own and stay with it. Their own obsession is, can we be accommodated? So it comes as no surprise that the G20 began to consider accepting the African Union to have representation. But it is all about also undermining the expansion and the growth of the Global South and BRICS.
What do you think is the most prestigious now for the African Union? Is it the membership in the G20 or a seat on the Security Council of the United Nations?
Well, I think what would be more prestigious for them would be a seat in the Security Council than anything, because the issue of who decides on wars, that ultimately where we become almost the victims, or what you may call we become part of something that we've not started. So sitting in the Security Council may influence the outcomes of those decisions, which we know will definitely affect us. Even if you are in the G20, but if you're not in the Security Council, it means nothing, because the Security Council can still dictate as it has always done. And we simply become the victims of wars and battles that are not our own.